Well, we're going to study another character trait tonight. And so take your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read a little bit tonight. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and just follow along. I'm going to read for you, so we'll move a little more quickly through the text tonight. Beginning in verse 22, and read through verse 37. Just follow along as I read. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that when the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. You notice the attitude of David in this passage. At any time, as we read through this, from the time that he arrived to the time that he stood before Saul, and if you want to continue reading, and through the time that he stood before Goliath, is anybody in question that this young man was confident? There is no indication that he was anything but confident. Can someone please tell me why? Is it because he was a strapping young lad that had skills above measure in war, in the art of war? Or perhaps it's because he put on the king's armor like later on in the story is requested of him, and he was going to be impervious to any kind of damage in the battle. No? Or maybe like Greek mythology, right? The one guy that was dipped in the blood all the way to Achilles, that was his name. Remember him? Okay. If you do a little Greek mythology study, you can learn about that. But, you know, wasn't that. Did he know something about Goliath that the rest of the army didn't know? No. Did he have some tactical advantage? Not really. I mean, you go out and try to face a spear that's like a weaver's beam. Okay, that's kind of big. I mean, he didn't have to stab you with it. He could just smash you with it, for that matter. No, I don't think so. Why? Why in the world would he be confident? Because of God. And guess what, folks? We are in a similar situation in our lives today. We have the opportunity to go out into this world. And can I tell you, it is a dangerous place. It is. I'm not trying to scare you tonight. It's a dangerous place. Anything can happen at any moment to any of us in this world, can't it? It sure can. You just go ahead and pull up any news search engine you want to. Or go read a newspaper, which you may laugh at that. I don't know. But I guess people still do read them. They still do print them. And you'll find the multitude of ways people seem to get killed or die. There's a whole bunch of them. And not even half of them probably are medical. You understand? I mean, just robbery or freak accidents or, I mean, you just go on and on and on. This world is a dangerous place. And guess what? It's not even partitioned to a certain age group. Just go out to the local cemetery here and you'll see people from 0 to 100 something or other in there. Yeah. This world's a dangerous place. So why aren't we just slinking around, cowering and fussing all the time? Because of God. Because of God. Hey, listen, we know that the Bible tells us that it's going to be rough. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be perilous times that are going to come. I remember it'd be almost a year ago. Well, probably just a little over a year ago. Yeah, it was. A year and a month ago. Brother Lassiter, we had church. It was in March. We had church on Sunday, and the next time or whatever, I was supposed to preach, but we weren't having church because they shut us down. And I preached a message about perilous times shall come. It's not an if, it's a when. They are here. They are coming. It's going to get worse and worse. But that doesn't mean that God is not existent anymore. He is. He's still God. He's still in control. He still knows what's going on. He still knows the bounds of my boundaries of my life and your life. He still has a handle on it all. And listen, that's not arrogance. That's not pride. That's not being boastful in our lives of what we have. It is simply confidence in God. It just simply is. And I think that we can very plainly see, not only in this time of David's life, but in the whole of David's life, his confidence in his God. Okay? His confidence. I think about the time when Absalom came up and rose up, his own son rose up against him. Okay, what did he display? Confidence. He didn't want to see any harm come to his son, so he decided to go ahead and leave. Because he knew that God would handle the situation. He was okay with that. He was sad about it because of what was taking place. And of course, I mean, any father would be sad if his son rebelled against him openly like that. But you understand, he didn't lose confidence in his God. All the way through, even in times when he had sinned against God, He had confidence in God. Remember when he numbered the people and he had to choose what punishment? He chose to put himself in the hand of God. Why? He had confidence in God that just maybe God would be merciful. And was he right?
Yeah,
he was right. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you, folks, confidence is something that sometimes we lack in our world today. And we as Christians need to be more confident than ever. We do. So what is confidence? It is having full belief, trusting, relying, being fully assured of something. Hey, listen. Confidence. This is the word of God. Confidence in that. Every jot, every tittle, every line, every word. God's word. I've got no problem with that. Confidence in that. And you say, well, you're just one of those proud people. No. It's not me. It's his book. He gave it to us. It's confidence in him. I have full belief, trusting, relying, fully assured, without suspicion, even. You know what? I'm going to heaven. I am. Why? Because you're something special? No, actually, because I'm something not special. That's why. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need salvation. I know I can't provide it for myself, but he did. And he let me have it because I asked him. And he saved me. And guess what? He's keeping me saved, not me. You think I'd have any confidence if I had to keep myself saved? No way! Neither would you. I can't even remember my name half the time. I mean, how am I going to keep myself saved? Come on. Really? Confidence. Confidence is very important to the Christian. We've got to display this confidence. Why would someone want something they couldn't be confident in? Sir, you're a little different. Oh, thank you. I know I am. What makes you that way? Well, because of God. Oh, really? Well, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, you see, I don't really know, but I kind of know. And sometimes I know and sometimes I don't know. And God saved me, and I think, and wait a minute. Who would want to buy that story? Nobody. Hey, Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation. He's not ashamed of it. It's the gospel. It is his confidence. We can be confident and should be and display confidence in our God. First of all, let's talk about displaying confidence in God and not in men. Yeah. I'll go to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Confidence in God and not in men. You know what? Aren't you glad that I'm not the key to your salvation? Yeah, you should be. Yeah, don't say it too loud, Brother Losey. No. Why would you want to trust me? I'm a man. Yeah, I am. Now, you ought to trust me as long as you can back it up with this book here. Then that's okay. But don't put your confidence in man. Don't tie yourself to a preacher. Preachers can go the wrong direction. They can. Tie yourself to God. Yeah, tie yourself to him. And we ought to do that. So let's look at Psalm 118, look at verse 5. I called upon the Lord in my distress, or in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And then it's doesn't that remind you of the three Hebrew children as they were staring right in the face of Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful king at that time on earth? And they said, "We're not careful to answer you, O king. We're not bowing down to your image. Whatever you want to do to us, that's just fine. Our God is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not bow down to your image." Hey, listen. He just said right here that, "What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with him that helped me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Go to Numbers 13. Let's see an example of this. Look at Numbers 13. Remember this story? We're doing a Bible story review from Sunday school. Okay? Remember this in Numbers chapter 13? Look at verse 32. "And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Remember this story? Yeah. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The children of Israel, if you read the next chapter, put their confidence in man rather than in God. Caleb and Joshua said, "The Lord has given us the victory. The Lord has promised us this land. The Lord will fight for us." And they said, Look at verse 1 of 14. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Because of the evil report. Because they put their confidence in man and not in God. Hey, can I tell you something? I have very quickly learned to love all y'all. That's a good southern thing. All y'all. Okay. And listen. But can I tell you something? I'm not putting my confidence in you to build this church. And you ought not put your confidence in me to build this church. It's God's church. He's going to build the church. We get to work for him, but he's going to build. It's his. Put your confidence in God, not in man. Hey, I think that the children of Israel, after 40 years, might have learned their lesson. Kind of. Because you know what? If you flip over a few chapters to Joshua, or a few books of the Bible to Joshua, God wanted them to go in and possess the land. And at the end of Joshua's life, in Joshua 24, they still had not done all that they should have. You'd think they would have learned. After all the people, 20 years old and upward, died in the wilderness over the space of 40 years. But nope. Hey, listen, hasn't God done enough for you to be confident in him? And with every breath that you take, with every minute of your day, but yet we still put our confidence in man. Why? It is so fallible, and he's so infallible. Why would we even dare to do such? But yet, in some times and circumstances, we do. Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're human. Because we're human. And we're flawed. Just the same. Over in Proverbs 25, verse 19, it says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth." I know a little bit about that. I see it. God let me forget my tooth at home for this reason. I did. I left it sitting on my nightstand. I'm sorry. My wife is embarrassed, but she's in the nursery, so it doesn't matter.
tell you a broken tooth hurts? Anybody break their tooth? Yeah, come on. It hurts. It's just, it's not even just the immediate pain. It's that constant aching. This drives you about batty. Well, that's what putting confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like. Or a foot out of joint. Now, I've never had my foot out of joint. I've had my thumb out of joint. Brother Camp was talking about splitting some wood and getting a log splitter. I have great experience with a hydraulic log splitter. Yeah, my thumb was actually on the backside of my hand sticking up like this. So when I was doing thumbs up, it was coming up to like here. Yeah, I was a teenager. I walked upstairs and my mom, she of course about fainted. And it didn't hurt at that moment. I was fine with it. My dad says, hold still. I said, yes, sir. When he popped that thing back into place, oh, my soul. Yeah, that hurt. That's what putting confidence in man is like. Why would you want to experience that? Just stick to God. He's the one we ought to put confidence in. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some of that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. No, not wise. Let's trust God. Let's put our confidence in God and not in man. You know these verses. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. 5 through 6, you understand. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. But verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So not only do we need to display confidence in God and not in man, but also display confidence in God and not in the flesh. Yeah. Not in the flesh. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, this thing of confidence is often mistaken for arrogance. But you know whose fault that is? It's ours. How do you carry yourself? Is you got a chip on your shoulder just begging people to knock off? Huh? Or can you couple last week's character trait with this week's character trait and make it work? You remember what last week's was? Compassion. Oh, you mean these things work together? Uh-huh. They do. Yeah, they do. All right, confidence in God and not in the flesh. You there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Look at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen to this. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. That's always a good idea. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. He says again, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Hey, I want to be able to stand before God and for Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I do not want Him saying, thou wicked and slothful servant. No, thank you. Right? I had the privilege, and I'm going to call it that. You may call it something else, but I will call it a privilege. Of having Dr. Bob Smith call me into his office and say, son, come in. Close the door. And him sitting in his chair, take his glasses and pull them down to the end of his nose and just say the word, son, I was in trouble. Yeah. But you know what? That's okay. Because I needed to be in trouble. He said, what did you do? I'm not telling. That's between him and I. I think the Lord even forgot about it already. He's something about east and west, and buried sins, all that stuff. But, hey, can I tell you something? We are going to answer for what we do in this body. Do not put confidence in the flesh. Do not put confidence in what your flesh can do, but rather what you can do for the Lord in your flesh. But in the flesh, in the spirit. You understand what I'm saying? If we do it in the flesh, it'll come of nothing. It will fail. It will falter. But what we do in the spirit for the Lord, with our frailties, will be successful because it's in confidence in Him and in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Whatever we tried to build in the flesh will be for naught. But what we try to build for God in the Spirit will not be in vain. It'll be for something. It'll be valuable. Over in Philippians chapter 3, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. These Judaizers were trying to come in and say that they had to be circumcised to be saved, which was not true. Salvation is by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. And he's saying, I don't have any confidence in the flesh. He said, for if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So he said, hey, if you think you can trust in the flesh, well, then I got you beat. And he goes on and tell his credentials of being circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. A Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You think Paul had this thing of no confidence in the flesh under control? Yeah. Just go back and read the book of Romans. Go back and read some of the things that he talked about of walking not in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Folks, we trust too much in this flesh. And listen, in my younger days, I thought I was invincible. Yeah. I found out that I'm not. Yeah. I'm not. And neither are you. Well, listen, we need God. We need the Spirit of God full in our lives to have the power we need to make it through. Hey, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you know what? God says it's okay to be weak because then He can be strong when we're weak. When we understand that we in the flesh cannot do something, then God can. Hey, let me tell you something. Y'all know that we're trying to move up into this area. I'm not worried about it. I'm not. Because I know God can. And I know He will. And I have confidence in that. Does that mean we're not looking for a place to live? No, that's stupid. Okay? Yeah, we're looking. We're doing our part, but we're also trusting God. We're also trusting God to do His part. And you know what? I want it to be miraculous. I want it to be something that nobody else would have thought would have ever happened. You say, why? So you can brag about it? No. So I can brag on God about it. So people can stand still and see that He is God. Isn't that what you want in your life? That's having confidence in God and not in the flesh. Last one and we'll be done. How about confidence in God and not confidence in the world? Can I tell you something? Being an educator for 15 years has just made me flat mad at Christians. I have watched family after family after family choose worldly education over Christian education. And if that makes you mad, I'm sorry, you made me mad. Because I'm sorry, that's stupid. Why would you let the devil and the world educate your kids? Why? But they need an accredited degree so that they can get a job. You're saying God can't give them a job? They don't need an accredited degree. I've read the laws. Even our state says they don't need an accredited degree. Let's go look it up. It's right there in the law books in Austin. That's a facade. That's a lie. It's not true. But yet people choose education over God. They put their confidence. Well, they get a scholarship to a fancy university. Who really cares? No. Why don't you train up a child the way he should go? And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Hey, John 15 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the world that the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Well, we not put confidence in the world. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Huh? Yeah. Why would you long for this world? You have something so much better to long for and to look forward to. Don't put your confidence in the world. The world will let you down. John, 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Enough said? Hey, when David stood before his brothers, he had confidence in God. When David went and stood before King Saul, he had confidence in his God. When David went out to that battlefield and stood before that giant, he had confidence in God. And as he's standing over that giant with the sword about to lop his head off, he had confidence in God. And throughout his life, working for his father-in-law, Saul has slain his thousands and David is 10,000. As he was running from his father-in-law in the caves, in the land of the Philistines, David strengthened himself in the Lord. He had confidence in his God. And he wouldn't even touch the anointed of God when he had opportunity. Not because he trusted Saul wouldn't do anything to him because he spared his life, because he trusted God and his word. Has confidence, folks. And David was labeled a man after God's own heart. Maybe for the confidence that he had in his God. Can I tell you something? We as Christians, not to be arrogant, not to be brash, not to be rude, we need to have some confidence. Some boldness. Hey, remember the disciples? We ought to obey God rather than man. We're going to preach. You told us not to, but we're going to go out and do it anyways. That wasn't arrogance. That was confidence. We need more confidence as Christians.